This week, we check out Maynardville, Tennessee, where two young men committed the most horrific of crimes. Welcome to Small Town Murder. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Small Town Murder.
Yay!
Oh, your yay is well warranted. My name is James Petragallo. I'm here with the yaying.
I am Jimmy Wissman.
Thank you guys so much for joining us again. Coming back again for more murder.
Yeah.
More horrific crimes.
It's the best.
Today's is horrific, too, by the way. But it's going to be okay. We're going to make it
work.
We're
going to make through it.
We're going to get through it together. You guys and us together as a team.
I can't wait.
We're all going to get through this. I want to thank everyone for their onslaught of iTunes reviews
this
week.
Holy shit.
My God, guys, you're the best.
Yeah.
You fuel this train. Like Jimmy said before, you're shoveling the coal in here. You know, we're just up there. We're steering it. We're doing what we can.
But you all got soot on your faces, and we appreciate
Thank you so, so much. If you haven't done it, please get on iTunes. It takes 30 seconds. I know you got to sign in. It's kind of a pain. But believe me, this takes way longer to do.
It's worth it.
I've been up for days, partially because of the work and partially because I had to think about the things that happened in this particular case here. So that helps us out immensely on the business end. And if you want to do a little bit more, you can do a little more. You can. It's so appreciated. We can't even tell you. You can get on patreon.com/crimeinsports. That's our other podcast. You can make a donation there. If you want to make a one-time donation, you can do that at PayPal.
Yep.
Our PayPal there is crimeinsports@gmail.com.
And
Crime and Sports is our other podcast. All that money goes to us. And you should be listening to Crime and Sports, too.
Please do.
You're sitting there going, I don't like sports. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter at all.
Sports are as relevant to that as the town is to the murder here.
Just giving
context and setting. Also, listen to P.S. I Hate This Movie with me and my girlfriend Sarah making fun of bad romantic comedies. We have a blast on there. But this here, this is a bad one. We definitely need the disclaimer for this one. Give the disclaimer to everybody out there. We are comedians.
That's true.
We're stand-up comics. This is a comedy podcast. So the facts are real. Research is real. Everything like that is 100% real.
Yeah.
But we do make jokes.
Unfortunately.
Hopefully. Fortunately for you guys. But we never make jokes at the expense of the victims, at the expense of the victims' families.
They don't deserve it.
As our motto has become, we are assholes, but we're not scumbags.
Right.
That's the way it works. We're not jerks like that. We don't get joy out of people's pain and suffering. We're just trying to get through
Unless they did something terrible.
That's where the comedy comes from.
I enjoy them suffering.
A lot of times we'll pick on little things in a small town. We're all from small towns. Yeah. Who cares? We're having fun. Either that or bumbling police force that's screwing up, letting a murderer go. Or sometimes we pick on a murderer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're not
shitty
real.
Shitty last meal.
We're not sorry about that.
No.
They're assholes.
Not
so that's fine. Yeah. Also, so if that sounds good to you.
Stick around.
If you're like, hey, I want more murder. Yeah. We have all the murder you can want.
We shall shut up and give you murder.
We shall give you murder. And let's do that, shall we? Shall we give you murder? Let's head somewhere else here.
Okay.
We were in Canada last week. We were in Canada. We were up in Newfoundland.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. We learned about ski-doos. Yes, we know. There's snowmobiles
They exist.
Now.
I
yes.
get it.
I'm from like an hour outside of New York City. There's not a lot of snowmobiling that I've ever done. Jimmy's from Colorado, but grew up here. Yeah. So.
And in Colorado, nobody rides a fucking snowmobile. They don't ride snow machines. They ride them up in the northern areas of Colorado, in the mountains and shit, but not in Colorado Springs. You don't ride
that shit
to get milk.
It's almost like not even recreation. Like that's people use those to get, like in Alaska, to go get supplies. Like, I'll get on the ski-doo.
Or to hunt a moose.
Or to hunt a moose. Yes, maybe hunt a moose. But today, we're coming back to the States.
Yeah.
We're heading down south a little bit kind of the Mid-South area.
Yeah.
Tennessee.
Oh.
We're going to Maynardville, Tennessee, everybody. That's right. You can fire up the banjo.
What a name.
Fire up the banjo for Maynardville, Tennessee.
When I was a kid, my grandfather, my uncle used to say, good stuff, Maynard, after like a meal.
And really? Who's Maynard?
I have no fucking idea who that's supposed to be.
How did you never ask what the origin of that is? Hey, Grandpa, who's Maynard?
I just looked at him shocked.
You just told Grandma she nice meal Maynard. Why is Grandma what happened?
I have no idea what it means.
Well, do I not know everything about Grandma?
But Maynard just sounded super hillbilly to me. That's all.
Well, Maynardville. Here we go. Let's do it. It is in the northeastern part of Tennessee.
Okay.
It's kind of right before Tennessee. Kind of has a little flyaway in the northeastern corner. Kind of heads toward a little triangle.
Yeah.
It's kind of right before it gets to that. It's 35 minutes to Knoxville.
Okay.
So that's, you know, Knoxville's
you can get somewhere else.
Mid-sized little city. Yeah. And then 3 hours to Nashville.
Jesus.
So it's in the middle of nowhere,
it's
pretty
a distance.
Much. I mean, it's a distance, and it's in the Big Ridge section of it. Okay. It's a big national or state park and
gotcha.
A big deal like that. A lot of forest around
oh.
there, that sort of thing, this area. Nice looking area. Pretty
yeah.
looking area. I don't want to live there, but very pretty. It's in Union County, Tennessee. Okay. Zip code 37807, area code 865.
Yeah.
It's a small town and area, 5.4 square miles.
Okay.
Butts right up against the state park preserve or
gotcha.
Whatever, right up against that. It's situated in the center of Raccoon Valley, it's known. Now, that sounds like some southern shit,
yeah,
Raccoon Valley.
It does sound like the sticks.
It really does. It's known as a narrow valley that stretches for about 15 miles between Copper Ridge and the Hines Ridge,
okay.
I guess. It's Raccoon
Valley.
Lots of
ridges.
Lots of ridges. It's the Appalachians. The
okay.
Appalachians,
so
tons
of
ridges and hills and hollers.
Yeah. Hollers.
That's right. I know my southern terminology.
There you go. I'm impressed.
It's Raccoon Holler right here. That's what that is. It's on the website, it touts itself as, quote, a friendly town with an eye on the future.
Oh.
So watch out. They're coming for you, everybody.
That sounds like a threat.
Robot, doesn't it? Robots from Maynardville. They're building them. That's what it says. An eye on the future. Our time is not now.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Our time is later. We're coming for you. Don't worry. Maynardville originally was known as Liberty in the 1800s. That was the original place where they created Union County in the 50s, 1850s, uh-huh. that is. And Liberty was the nearest, kind of the center of the county. They chose that as the county seat. And land was donated for the courthouse there by Marcus Monroe, who's a local minister. Always the religious people starting shit.
Yeah.
It's all every one of these towns. It's started by religion. No one, there would be one town if there was no religious people in this entire country. I feel like no one would be running away to get some sort of get away from the other religious people they don't like. It's crazy. A country singer named Roy Acuff. Do you know who this is?
No.
Acuff. I don't even know how you pronounce it. A-C-U-F-F.
Okay.
He's born in 1903 here. Apparently, he was known as the king of country music.
Really?
This is like the early part of the centuries. He was just the king. He's credited with kind of coming up with the string-based, you know, kind of country thing that we know of now.
Okay.
Like that whole sound is from him, apparently.
Look at the banjo and all that.
Yeah. In 1952, Hank Williams, who was a giant country legend, he said about Acuff, quote, "He's the biggest singer that this music ever knew. You booked him and you don't worry about crowds. For drawing power in the South, it was Roy Acuff, then God."
How about that?
So that's from Roy Williams, or from Hank Williams.
Yeah.
So that says a lot. This guy was a badass. He he moved to Nashville and he formed a publishing company, and he signed, it was Acuff Rose Music, and he signed Hank Williams, Roy Orbison, the Everly Brothers. This was
holy
in the 40s.
Shit.
He found all these people.
The best people.
So, he knows his shit here. He was also the first living inductee into the Country Music Hall of Fame.
How about that? First living. You got to die to get into
that
shit.
You got to die.
Unless you're Roy Acuff.
Unless you're this guy. Then they let you in. Also, too, a little reference in popular culture to this town I found here in Inglourious Bastards. Brad Pitt's character
is from there.
From Maynardville. He's from this town. He's a moonshiner from this town.
Hilarious.
So that gives you an idea of where we are.
Yeah.
Exactly. If you make a movie and you write a moonshiner character, this is where you put him. So that's give you a clue
and
here.
And that's maybe my favorite character in any
Tarantino?
Tarantino movie. he's so good in that movie.
He is
he's
good in
so
that movie.
Fucking good.
Now the people in this town, population 2,355.
Okay.
Small town. That's a tiny town. In 1990, there was only 1,298 people here.
Wow.
So there's been an 81% increase since 1990, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
That's
how did Tarantino even find this fucking town?
I have no idea. Back then, who knows?
Yeah.
Everything is pretty much average here.
Yeah.
It's your average little town, except for when we get to money. Average number of males and females. The median age is within a year of average, 38 and a half. A few more kids than average, but there's also a few more old people, and it averages out in the age. Married, there's a few less married people than normal. That's the only real aberration of statistics here. And widowed people, three times the widowed population.
Whoa.
I don't know what is going on here, but if you get married, one of you is going to die, and the other one's going to stay here.
You stick it through.
That
till death do us part shit is for real down there.
It's true. Also, single with children is a much bigger part of the population than normal down there. Single people with children.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I mean, people aren't getting married and that sort of thing, which we'll get to in a second.
Well, they see their grandparents or live alone eventually.
Yeah, they're like, ooh, that looks miserable.
I don't want to be like
Grandma's
that.
Grandma's been widowed for so long, sitting there
She's
staring
so
at
angry.
The park. Yeah, listening to Roy Acuff music.
We've asked her what she wants for dinner so many times, and she says, a man, every goddamn time.
A man, a big man. You're like, oh, Jesus. Okay, Grandma, calm down. Racially, this town is white.
Really?
You got to you need the H in there.
Gotta,
it's so white.
You got to pronounce it.
You're really, it's white. It's white. It's 95.49% white.
My goodness.
That is very white.
Do we even need to bother with the others?
0.76% black, which Tennessee has a high black population.
Yeah.
This is a town that time forgot almost, it seems like. Here, 0.42% Asian. Uh-huh. So, I mean, there's like one restaurant. Those are the only people allowed there. 2% Hispanic. So not much in terms of that.
Yeah, that's just all white.
It's very white. Yeah. It's very, very white. Very homogeneous society here. another weird thing for the South. This is a little aberrant also with the South. South, the religious numbers are always off the charts more in the South. Only 35% classify themselves as religious here.
At all.
The average in the country is 50%.
My goodness.
And the average in the South is like 65% when we do these
this
towns
usually. This is 65,
usually.
Not religious.
Yeah, it's crazy. 33% Baptist, of course. Mm-hmm. You're going to get that. 0% Catholic.
What?
Zero.
None.
That is so weird. Was this a Klan town?
It had to be.
I tried to find research on this to see, and I'm sorry if you're from there and it's not a Klan town.
Right.
But to have a Southern town with no black people and no Catholic people, that seems like that's on purpose.
You ran them out on purpose.
It seems like, they were like, don't move there. Yeah. You know, it's one of those sundown towns like we were in El Dorado, Illinois there. 0%, 0.0% Jewish, 0.0% Muslim. Not a shock there. Yeah. There's not even any Catholic people. There's definitely not going to be anybody else. Voting.
You can't get anybody doing the staging of the cross. You're not getting anybody praying to
the sun. There's no Italians down there. You're not going to find a fucking Muslim guy.
You're not going to find a prayer bump in the bunch.
Not going to happen. Voting-wise, not a shocker here, too. Just kind of the location. 25% Democrat, 73.5% Republican, which is way, way out of whack of the average. But it's Tennessee with all white people, so what do you expect? That's kind of that's how
I am kind of shocked though that it's that it skews that far Republican, even with like the low amount of religious people. Like
that's
I guarantee you, all 35% of those, they all run.
They're all Republicans. The economy not doing so great down there, we'll say, but they have 6% unemployment, which isn't that high. It's a little higher than the national average, but it's not that terrible. But what the people are actually making is awful. 29% of the people there make under $15,000 a year.
Good Christ.
29%. Now, a lot of that is elderly people, too, because 32% of kids and 33% of seniors live below the poverty line.
Uh-huh.
So kids and old people are
just dirty.
Shit out of luck in that town. 62% of the people, 62% make under $35,000 a year.
Holy shit.
That is not a booming economy.
No.
Only 2% or less than 2%. I'm sorry. It's more like a percent and a half make over $150,000 a year. That is not, that's so far below what it should be also.
Strug life, for sure.
It's rough.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at the jobs, too, it's a lot of manual labor. Only half of the management, business, finance jobs that are usually there in towns. Yeah. A lot of sales and retail and that sort of thing. And a ton of production, transportation, material moving. So a lot of construction and
logging.
Moving things and things like that. That's about twice as much as normal. So blue-collar jobs where you make under $15,000 a year.
Brutal.
Are there. It's tough. Cost of living there, this isn't that bad if you're making less money at least. The cost of living is, we do 100 as par.
Right.
That means it's, average. This town is a 79 out of that. So that's not that bad. Median home cost there is $105,700, which
is brutal. Though.
It's still brutal if you're making $15,000 a year. $185,000 is the average. So, you have that sort of thing. Not that awful. Most of the houses, though, 10%, over 10% of the houses are worth less than $20,000 there. So that tells you
over
a lot.
Over 10% are less than $20,000.
Less than $20,000.
Holy shit.
$60,000 to $80,000 is where 23% of the houses fall. So it's not a lot.
I want to see a $20,000 house.
That's what I'm saying. They have
that's ridiculous.
Zero houses valued at over $400,000. 0.0. There might be one or two, but they're not statistically recognized. 0.00%. And if this has just made you want to run to Maynardville and move in,
fucking bananas. First of all,
you're crazy.
Yeah.
But we have the Maynardville real estate report you right now. A two bedroom apartment there on the average goes for $590, which is cheap for a two. That's half the average of the country. That's really cheap. I found a home here, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1,300 square feet. Little house, little front porch, nice little starter home, $72,500.
It's not awful.
That's not terrible. Yeah. It's on Little Valley Road.
Yeah.
Then I found a night. This house is awesome. It's a big, beautiful, it's a really nice house. Yeah. 3-bedroom, 3-bath, 2,400 square feet, wow. $162,400.
That's a fucking deal.
That's a deal.
If you can commute to Nashville
to
3 hours away.
Knoxville. Hey, Knoxville's yeah. a half hour away, yeah. 35 minutes
if
away.
If you can
get
commute
Knoxville.
And make decent scratch, that's a great
yeah,
place to live.
Nice place to live. Yeah. It's not bad. It could be worse.
Yeah.
It could be worse.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah.
Things to do when uh-huh. you're there. The Big Ridge State Park.
Yes.
Like I said, you got to go to the Big Ridge
lots
State Park.
Lots of recreation.
Lots of recreation, lots of trees, lots
sure.
of camping, things
outdoors
to do like
shit.
That. Yeah. July 22nd is the Summer Craft Fair at the winery
no
at
thanks.
Seven Springs Farm. As we drove to South by Southwest, yeah. every small town is loaded with wineries
yeah,
now. That's
they
everyone
are.
Selling shit and wine
yeah.
and jelly. And
I heard craft beers were huge in every city. In every town,
it's
craft
wine.
It's craft
wine.
Everywhere.
They all have
yeah.
all these little vineyards popping up. But you got to go to that. It says, quote, where else can you shop while you enjoy a glass of wine? Support local vendors by shopping local. Over 25 crafters and vendors and, Jimmy, free hot dogs.
All right.
Capital letter, free hot dogs. God
have
damn
a
it.
Glass of wine and a fucking hot
and
dog.
And a hot dog. Now that.
You feel like nah, you're, you feel you like feel you're high society with your yeah. wine, and then that hot dog humbles you right the fuck up.
Yeah, which, can I ask you a question? Is the sommelier around? Is it a cab that goes with a Nathan? Is that how that works? Hebrew nationals, they go better
think,
with a
you
the
think
Sangiovese,
Hebrews are free?
Right?
You yeah. think they're giving Hebrews? Fuck
well,
no.
You never know. This town,
these are worse
knows.
Than Costco.
That's true. Plus, there's no Jewish people there. They're yeah. not giving out Hebrew nationals at all. Get to the crime rate. The
yes.
crime rate where mm-hmm. we come in mm-hmm. in our area here.
Yeah.
The crime rate. Property crime, which is burglary, larceny, theft, is almost twice the national average
yeah.
there. Really high. I mean, that's really high.
That seems
almost
crazy.
That seems like a shitload.
Yeah.
Like, they will steal your shit
no
down
doubt.
There. I don't know who, if people are coming out from the forest, stealing
yeah.
it, running back in.
Yeah.
They have, like, some gnomes, the Keebler elves. I don't
drink
understand.
Your wine
it.
Fast, because somebody will steal it.
Yeah, someone is going to steal your hot dog. Yeah. We're making them free, because people are going to steal them anyway. So we said, fuck it. Just here they
that's
are. Just they're
is.
Free, all right? Now, violent crime, murder, rape, robbery, assault, that, on the other hand, is about half the national average.
Okay.
So they'll steal your shit, but they will not rape and murder you
right.
while they're doing it. So that's nice.
They'll leave your vagina alone.
Yeah.
And
robbery in there.
Yeah.
They're like, look, listen, tell you what, you know, we'll steal your shit, but we'll wait till you're not around.
Right.
Now, let's get to the murder part of this. Man, glad the town was fun, because
yeah.
the murder, this isn't so fun.
Okay.
This is particularly shitty.
Okay.
A couple of particularly shitty people let's get into here. Let's talk about, well, we'll start out with a guy who's not shitty.
Okay.
Let's talk about Jack Romines. Okay, he leaves his home. He's a nice guy. He's about 50 years old.
Uh-huh.
He's got a wife and a daughter.
Jack Romines?
Jack Romines.
Okay, got
okay.
it. All right.
Yeah, no, Jack Romines.
Like, this is a fucked up name.
Not Jethro.
Okay.
Jethro Mines. How you doing? Now, that sounds like a
yeah,
name
that's
from
a Tennessee name.
That's a very Tennessee. Jethro Mines right here is like, ooh, he's Jethro from the mines. That's why they call him that. Oh, no.
Jack Romines. Got it.
Jack Romines, nice guy. He lives with his wife, Wanda, who's
mm-hmm.
51 years old.
Mm-hmm.
They have a 15-year-old daughter, Sheila, that lives in the house.
Okay.
Jack leaves for work, and it's August 17th, 1986. Jack leaves his home in Maynardville, like usual, at 5:20 a.m.
Okay.
He takes off, goes to work. Everything's fine, you know, leaves the wife and daughter in there.
Sure.
Comes home later on that afternoon and finds an absolutely horrific scene
yeah.
spread over two rooms.
Fuck.
Absolute. It's horrible, this
really?
Scene. It's one of the worst that we've heard about, talked about.
Okay.
And let's kind of get into this a little bit. Well, let's first introduce Stephen Michael West
okay.
and Ronnie Martin. Stephen Michael West is a 23-year-old. Ronnie Martin is 17 years old.
Okay.
They know each other. They both work at McDonald's
uh-huh.
In Lake City, Tennessee,
you
which
betcha.
Is nearby. Both working at McDonald's, doing great.
Yeah.
That's, you know,
it.
23, you want to be working at McDonald's. 17,
yes.
whatever. That's, yeah. you know, you're 17. Now, Stephen Michael West, he is the 23-year-old. He is born in a mental institution.
What?
So that's a bad start.
His mom's a loon.
His mom was hospitalized in a mental institution when he was born.
Okay.
So that right away is an auspicious beginning to a life, to be born into a mental institution.
Yeah.
immediately something is amiss, I feel like.
And that's not a good seasoning in this soup.
No, that's a bad, you added like tarragon in there when it had no business being in there.
That's a bad bouillon.
Exactly. It's not good. And you're like, coriander does not belong in chicken noodle soup. It just doesn't. I don't know what the fuck you're putting in there. Right. It's not great. Steven grows up. His father was an alcoholic, violent, drunk, that sort of thing, which, I mean, this was also in the, you know, in the 60s. Yeah. I think in the 60s in the South, being violent to your kids was, this isn't an insult to the South. This is everywhere because, good God, we all know everybody did this.
In the 60s,
you just beat the shit out of your kids. It's just the way it happened.
Not just the kids. Nobody's safe.
You needed a good, it was one of those things like he's been good all week, but I feel like he needs an ass kicking anyway. He hasn't had a good one this week. Like,
and he's out of softball and I'm ready and primed. I'm going to kick the dog.
Yeah, I need to kick something. Yeah. So that's what happens when you get a drunk guy like that. Steven grows up. Steven West, he joins the military. Mm-hmm. He serves in Germany for 3 years.
Okay.
His military records show that he had a drug and alcohol problem during his service, a bit of that. No criminal record, though. So that's good, anyway, in the service. He didn't, and in or out of the service, he has no criminal record. At this time, he has a pregnant wife. Mm-hmm. So he's got a young wife. I think she's 21 years old, and she is 6 months pregnant at this moment in time in August of 1986. Now, at the, Martin, on the other hand, Ronnie Martin, like I said, 17 years old. West is Martin's supervisor at McDonald's. So he's like the assistant manager.
Okay.
He's like the shift man. He's telling him to go clean the bathroom.
Okay.
So they're hanging out. They know
23, his goals and aspirations are to be a McDonald's manager.
Apparently, he's working his way up here, and he's supervising Ronnie Martin. They only knew each other about a couple weeks, actually, since Martin had started working at the McDonald's. And they start they hang out one night after their shift. And they start drinking and hanging out and roaming the countryside is the way it was put. They just roam the countryside. They had Ronnie Martin's mother's car.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, first of all, if you're 23 years old, you're managing a McDonald's and you're hanging out with a 17-year-old driving around in his mom's car.
Well, you've got a pregnant wife at home.
You need to fucking check where you are in life.
Your priorities are fucked up.
They're way fucked up. Yeah, you have a pregnant wife at home and you're like, no, let's drink and ride around in your mom's car like we're in the 11th grade. No, this is stupid. Right away, a dumb plan. Yeah. Not great at all. So they're roaming around there. You know, they've had a few drinks. They're not, you know, blackout drunk or anything like that, but they're driving through the countryside looking for something to do, which is never good.
Yeah.
That's how kids get into trouble. That's why you see those commercials back in the day for like community centers and they're like, keep kids out of trouble. And it's like, that's because they need something to do or else they're going to fuck off. And this guy's not even a kid. He's just a moron.
And 2 weeks West. Into knowing each other and they're already riding around drinking together. That's a bit much.
Well, for the 17-year-old, he's like, here's a guy who can buy alcohol.
Yeah.
He's 21. He can buy alcohol. Yeah. So he'd want to hang out with him, I can see. But what the allure for Martin for why West would want to hang out with Martin, I don't understand that allure exactly.
That's weird.
So they're driving around. Martin here, Ronnie Martin, tells West that he knows a girl who would give them some sex. That's the way he put it. I just picture him. I know a girl, give us some sex. Like, I'm like, ew. Like, give us some sex? They're not brownies.
But that sounds like something that, does this
17-year-old
shit. That's how
kid
they talk.
Would say. Yeah. Like, I know a girl, give us some sex. Like, go over there. So he is referring to one of his classmates, a girl named Sheila Romines, who we've talked about, Jack's daughter. Now, she was a classmate of Martin's, and apparently she, at one point in school, rebuffed his advances in front of a large group of people and put a little stank on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She made him look like an asshole, and he's held a grudge for a while about this girl.
Meanwhile, I've got so much going through my head right now about why they're out together
why
2 weeks into knowing each other.
So much.
West trusts Martin enough already in 2 weeks to go, quote unquote, get some sex from a girl that's 15 years old.
And we
and he's got a pregnant wife at home.
Oh, yeah.
And he trusts him enough to bang a 15-year-old with him, apparently, because it's only one girl.
It's one girl.
There's two dicks, one girl.
And they're like, hey, let's go over there. Yeah, we'll do it. And he's 23. At that point, he doesn't go, wait, a classmate of yours. So that means that
she's 17
like,
or younger.
Or younger.
Right.
I have a wife. I got to work today. Yeah. Let's just go home.
I got a wife and a kid that's going to be 15 in 15 years.
Yeah, we say you drop me off at home and you go ahead and do your thing, buddy.
You go get your sex.
Ah, to be 17 again.
That's exactly what you
like,
say.
That's what you say. Yeah. Drop me off, though. Yeah. You go. You have your little adventure.
You finish this six-pack, I'm going to go home.
Yes, so they drive to their home. Mm-hmm. They drive to the Romines' home. They sit there. They get there a little bit before around 5 a.m. They just sit and hang out and watch the house. Now, and West doesn't know these people at all. Yeah. He doesn't know Sheila. He doesn't know these people. He's a fucking 23-year-old guy, got out of the Army and works at McDonald's. Right. He has no idea about any of this shit. So they drive to Maynardsville. They sit there. They're in the neighborhood just hanging out. They see Jack Romines, who is, as we've talked about, the husband and father here.
He
leaves for work at 5:20 a.m., as we said, right? So they wait a couple minutes. Now, first of all, who the fuck goes to someone's house at 5:20 in the morning?
They've been up drinking all night long, and they're like, let's go get sex. Is that important to these guys?
At 5 a.m. Do they think someone's going to, like, open the door, squinting in their robe, half asleep? Like, yeah, all right, come in and bang me. Like, no one's doing that. No one's doing that. She's not a prostitute. Right.
She's going to whisper her morning breath through the crack in the door.
It's ridiculous.
Be like, yeah, I'm totally horny. Come inside.
She's a young girl. Leave her alone. Like, they're completely not in their right state of mind right here, obviously, for God's sake.
They're behaving like two dudes born in a fucking mental institute.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, only one of them is, but two of them are. Actually, there's not a lot known about Martin, honestly, because of his age at the time of 17. It's difficult, but we'll keep going here. They knock on the door. Wanda comes to the door. Mrs. Romine, she comes to the door. Martin introduces himself, says, I know you're, you know, blah, blah, blah. This is West here. And they announce to them that they want to borrow money. Okay, they say, we're here to borrow money at 5:20 in the morning. Yeah. And you could tell, you know, when someone's been up drinking all night, like they weren't fresh, smelling like the shower.
Bloodshot
like,
eyes.
These guys came in like, oh boy, this must have been a scene, you know? Yeah. So they come in, they say they want to borrow money, which means we're going to take some shit from you. They start ransacking the house, looking for valuables, okay? Martin, Ronnie Martin, is with the mother, Wanda. West is with Sheila. They have them in separate rooms. They're keeping them separated, as these assholes often do. Now, we'll find out exactly how it comes to be, but what ends up happening here is Martin kills Wanda first.
What?
Martin kills Wanda. Okay, Ronnie Martin kills the mother.
2 weeks into knowing each other, and they're already murdering people.
They're murdering people. Now, we'll get into whose fault lays on what, but whatever. That doesn't even matter for the moment. Okay. But Ronnie Martin, we know, is the one who kills Wanda. Wanda ends up with a number of deep, deep stab wounds. I believe it's 14 is the total. Okay. One of them caused the right lung to collapse.
Oh, Jesus.
Others cut all the way into the colon, the liver, the gallbladder.
Oh, he's stabbing like crazy.
He's stabbing hard. The fatal wound completely severed the right common iliac artery, which is it's the artery that takes, I'm not sure if I pronounced that right, but it takes blood pressure down to the right leg.
Okay.
It does that. That's one. This caused huge hemorrhaging in the abdominal cavity, and the pathologist ends up saying she would have been dead within 5 to 10 minutes bleeding out from these type of wounds, which
what
is
a
excruciating.
Horrible 10 minutes.
10 minutes. It's the worst. So Martin kills Wanda in this bedroom, and he goes into Sheila's room, and he hands West a knife.
Because
he said there was two knives, is what comes out. Hands West a knife and says, I killed the mother, now you kill Sheila.
Oh, boy.
So this is out of fucking control at this point.
I thought we were just coming to get sex.
I thought we were, I thought you knew a girl that would give us some sex.
This she was going to give us sex.
Yeah.
And now we're taking lives?
Now we're taking hard. So this is ridiculous right here. I mean, right away, what do you do if you're West? Suppose you're West, and let's, because this will come up later. Suppose you're West. Suppose you're a guy who you go along with this guy, ill-advised. Yeah. You're 17 years old. You shouldn't be hanging out with him anyway. Go home to your pregnant wife and deal with
your life.
A family.
Right.
Live your life. Be responsible. Yeah. I don't know. You work at McDonald's. Maybe get a second job at night rather than running around with this fucking asshole.
No
if
doubt.
You want to be up all night, I mean, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but you're not sleeping anyway. At least earn some money
in
that
shift.
Get
some money. Yeah. So they've now come here, all ill-advised. Now, right away, when he says, we're here to borrow some money, Wes should have been like, whoa, 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 whoa.
I got a job.
I thought we were here for voluntary sex. I'm not robbing people.
No.
Let's get out of here. But he goes along with that.
Yeah.
Whatever. He's a moron born in a mental institution.
Right.
We'll give him that. Okay.
Yeah.
He's fine there. So then that now it's gone escalated to the point where this guy walks in with bloody knives after he just butchered a woman in another room. You've known this guy 2 weeks. This isn't your brother where you're like, you know, what are you doing, man?
Right.
How are we going to fix this? You know, this is some guy. What do you do now? What the fuck do you do?
You clearly have no path in life anyway.
No.
At this point, you're too young.
Do you
to
say,
have
hold on, I got to go to the bathroom and then run out and go call the police? I mean, that's honestly, is that what you do?
I'm gonna throw up. Hold on a minute.
Yeah. And you run out of the house and go call the police.
Yeah.
At some point, running away and calling
finding
the police.
Help is definitely a necessity.
I don't know.
At
maybe
this point.
Say, yeah, cool. Take that knife and then fucking hold it on Martin and go, hey asshole, go. I'm calling the fucking cops
on you.
You're a psychopath.
I was here for voluntary sex from her, and you stabbed up her mom.
What do you you doing? Yeah, this. I'm sorry. I'm dropping F bombs like crazy today. But this is making
this
me.
This is too much.
This is making me angry immediately here, and we haven't gotten near the worst part yet, or the worst parts, or anything else.
Okay.
So yeah, he says I killed the mother. Now you feel you kill Sheila. West apparently refused. He said he doesn't want to.
Yeah.
And this is from what we've gotten, and throws the knife down on the floor. Later on, West ends up giving a story about this, saying that Martin still had a gun. We'll find out where he got that. That is, Jack keeps a .38 caliber gun in Sheila's room in a chest of drawers. I don't know, in case she needs it for something. Yeah. He has a gun in there.
But he found it.
Yeah, he finds it. So we believe this is the gun he has, is the .38 at this point. He gets down on his knees where Sheila's down on the floor, and Sheila is begging him to let her go, obviously, because this poor girl, it's 5:30 in the morning, and her mother's dead, and he's got these horrible people in her house. And she asks him, why? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Which is a really fair question, I think, at this point.
And the answer is always terrifying.
And Martin's answer was just, I owe you, I owe you, and while he was giggling. He giggles and said, I owe you, I owe you. At this point, he begins to stab her, but he's not stabbing her for death yet.
Yeah.
He's stabbing her shallow wounds and wiggling the
knife. Superficial ones?
Not superficial. He's getting them in there, but they're torturous wounds.
Oh,
he's
God.
Wiggling the handle back and forth and making it hurt as bad as possible. Like when you see in Oz, another show from HBO that you should have watched, Jimmy, but I know you didn't. When you see somebody shank somebody, they don't just stick it in. They stick it and twist it, and they're trying to really work it and grind some. They're trying to grind up organs when they do it. They're trying to slash whatever they can. This is to torture her.
Unbelievable.
This is to torture her. He would ease it back and forth, trying to hurt her, and this went on for multiple minutes.
Boy.
This wasn't one thing. She ends up, Sheila, being stabbed 17 times in the abdomen.
Oh, God.
17 times in the abdomen. 14 of the stab wounds were described as torture-type cuts by the forensic pathologist. 14. So he sat there just screwing with her. That's how long this went on for. He did this forever. The pain this poor girl must have been in is awful. These are the stories that make me crazy, and I'm sure they make everyone crazy out there. I have a 15-year-old daughter, so this is
that's the part where
hits home real hard.
That's
why if anybody out there says like, "Oh, these guys are they don't give a shit and they're doing," believe me, I give a shit.
Yeah.
We're not trying to exploit anything. This is horrible, and we don't think it's not horrible, and we don't think this shit's funny right here either. There's no jokes to be made.
My daughter's six, man. Like this is right around the corner in her life, this age.
Yeah, no,
this
picture
horrible.
My daughter's literally 15 years old. She sits home. Who knows? You know, I mean, this is fucking frightening.
Yeah.
That's why I'm cursing. I'm out of control here. I'm off the reservation today. She also had three fatal wounds through the chest wall into the heart at a depth of 5.5 inches.
Sweet
so that's
Pete.
So deep, man. That's just stabbing. She finally decided, that was, what it was. The pathologist, we knew this already, but he figured that he found that the torture wounds were inflicted prior to the fatal wounds by the manner of which the blood drained, obviously. Some of the torture wounds actually were penetrating the liver, things like that. So there was a lot of bleeding and a lot of pain, and it's horrible here. Sheila also had two defensive wounds on her left forearm and her left thumb.
She tried
at least for a little bit there. The pain and suffering basically from the, what the medical examiner says, and from obvious just human being, the pain and suffering that she endured was off the charts.
Yeah.
They stole Jack's .38 caliber pistol. By the way, this gun that he had, it's not even loaded. This pistol,
really?
Jack's pistol, it's not a loaded pistol. He just kept an unloaded pistol. Also missing was an envelope containing $200 in cash.
Mm.
So, that's what they got out of this, an unloaded pistol and $200 in cash.
For all of this.
Yeah, so all this happens. By the way, that is not everything that happened in the house. We'll get to that when we get to court.
Oh, boy.
What do you do then? You run away? You go to Mexico like those idiots in Oklahoma? What do you do now? West goes to work at McDonald's that day.
What?
Goes to work that day. Now, if you're a cold-blooded asshole that's trying to cover up the fact that you're a murderer, you go to work that day.
That's what you do
because whenever if you watch Law and Order, whenever they're looking for someone, they're like, he didn't show up that day. That means he did it.
He changed his life.
Yeah, this guy, he shows up for a shift at McDonald's. Who could have killed someone like that and then showed up for their shift at McDonald's? You know what I mean? But the manager of the McDonald's said that on the day of the murders when he showed up, that he acted super strange, told her he didn't feel well, and said at one point he felt like he was having a flashback from an acid trip and was acting all fucking weird. Sounds like he was trying to get sent home.
Yeah.
Like he couldn't be there.
Like, I just got to go sit in a corner somewhere and try to figure out where my mind's at. Like, he's like, I can't supersize one more of these fucking things.
I just can't do it. No. Like, it feels like he didn't, he told her, I don't feel well, and that didn't get him sent home. So he's like, I feel like I'm having an acid flashback. Yeah. And he started acting like a nut, and they were like, well, now you can go home.
Now get the fuck out of here.
Now, the evidence piling up while this guy's at McDonald's, you know, he's slinging hash browns, and the police are gathering evidence, obviously.
Of course.
Several neighbors saw their car, first of all. This happens. How many of these cases have we had where the neighbors saw the car? Small towns, neighbors are fucking nosy.
People, not just nosy, but aware and awake.
Aware,
every noise
awake?
Wakes them up because everything's always quiet.
Yeah, and if they see a car that they don't see every single day, they're going to take note of it. They're going to write down the license plate number. They're so nosy.
And they know so much about cars in small towns,
too.
They're
do.
Like, that was an 86 Pinto or whatever the fuck.
Well, Jesus, they just know that that's not Bob's car. So I don't know whose car it was, and it shouldn't be in front of my house. So.
But they know the make and model.
They do. They always do.
Well, and the year.
We know from the Burlingame when they go up to it and look at it and take notes on it, and it's crazy.
Start feeling on the seats to know
they
where
do.
The cracks
Let me
are.
See. Oh, wow. It's got, I like that velour. That's
that
a nice interior,
nice.
Boy. Let me tell you something. Now, several of the neighbors positively identify the blue vehicle that Martin and West were driving as the as their car, and that's also Martin's car. It was parked in the neighborhood from approximately 6 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. They were there for two and a half hours doing this, which is insane. Mr. Hicks, who was a neighbor of theirs, testified that he looked out his front door at one point and saw a car stuck at the end of his driveway. He went outside and found that the two men in there had taken down a fence post in his yard and were using it to get the car out of the ditch. They were like trying to prop it up with the fence post like you do if you were
putting it under the tire.
If you're the Duke boys.
Right.
If you're in the Dukes of Hazzard and you're stuck in a you know,
ravine or
in
a
ravine.
Ditch.
Yeah. Just honking your Dixie horn the whole time. So he says the car eventually got out of the ditch and drove away. So when they leave this scene, they're stuck in a ditch. That's how bumbling these morons are.
Well, that's how much panic is rushing through at least one of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of them at least can't keep himself together for motor skills.
And it's going to be Ronnie Martin because he's the one driving. Yeah. The Mr. Hicks identified, he identified West.
Yeah.
He made a positive ID. And luckily, his wife, who also saw the car, he saw that she identified Martin. So she got a good look at him. He got a good look at, you know, so that was nice. There, investigators also found when they're investigating that the telephone wires at the Romines house had been ripped out of the wall.
Oh, my God.
So they literally went in there.
They planned this.
We need money. Yeah. We're stealing shit.
And they're
phone
not
wires
calling
out
anybody.
Of the wall. Where's your money? You get over here. You get over there.
Wow.
Absolutely horrific, man. They recover the gun. They recover the .38 caliber unloaded pistol in a storm drain in Norris, Tennessee. That ends up being traced back
to
Jack.
That's incredible for them to find that.
They found that. Well, they found it because they got information. They didn't just find it in a storm drain. They got information from a gentleman named John Allen. Not much of a gentleman, but he's a man, I believe, named John Allen, who was a friend of Martin's. He tells police that at about 4 a.m., this is an hour and a half before they go, or an hour before they go to the Romines' house, Martin stopped by John Allen's house. Who is stopping by people's houses this late at
they
night when you're 17 years
dicks.
Old? This is so weird. They stopped at this guy's house, gone in, and obtained a butcher knife from him. So for this,
I was just going to ask you, what did they find the weapons in the house, or did they bring these?
This is absolutely insane.
So they're going around town, knocking on doors and collecting.
Well, what is this? What is he, Joe Pesci and Goodfellas, going to his mom's house in the middle of the night, going, hey, I got to hack the hook off. Yeah, it's a sin. I got to hack it. No, what,
so this many is Tarantino references too. He's going over to the Wolf's house. He's
this is exactly Joe Pesci and De Niro and Ray Liotta going to the mom's house with Billy Batts in the trunk, and he's like, I need to borrow this knife.
I need to borrow this knife.
He borrows the knife. He's like, yeah, I hit a deer out there. So there's hoofs caught in the grill there. You know, it's a sin. I got to hack it off. That's what he's doing here. This is fucking ridiculous. So the guy gave him a butcher knife. I would have said, why do you need a butcher knife at 4 a.m.?
And here's the other thing. Stop stopping at people's houses at this time. I'll make this a public announcement. Nobody is welcome at my house at 4 fucking a.m. Don't come by.
You better be on fire. Like, literally. I'm like, oh, my God, put me out.
And
I'll be like, there's a hose out there.
Yeah.
What are you knocking
even
on the fucking door for?
Tell me the day before that you're coming by.
Jesus,
I don't need it.
I'm telling you, man. So, anyway, They get all. They gather up all this evidence, yeah. And 8:30 the next morning, March 18th, 1986, the West is arrested in his home.
Yeah.
They gather all his evidence. They know he's there. They arrest him, take him to jail. He's interrogated by a couple of agents that day. He makes five statements, at least five statements of what occurred.
What a dick.
And here's where we get, and it's kind of, they're not really that contradictory. They're more just more detailed each yeah. time type of thing. Now, in his
he remembered a time that he stopped by another person's house.
Well, yeah, it was one of those like he was trying to be like, oh, I did this. Well, maybe I didn't. Well, maybe this happened. Yeah. You'll see it changes slightly. Now, in his first statements, he insisted that they left the house, that Martin and West, they went into the house. They had some sexual activity with the daughter. The daughter was cool with it. She invited him in to, you know, give them some sex at 5:20 in the fucking morning. Yeah. And then they left the house. Everybody was fine in the house. They're unharmed. They walk outside. Hey, it was great getting sex with you, buddy. You know, they're walking out. And he said at that point, Wes said that Martin told him he decided to return to get some money. He's yeah. like, oh, we should go rob them, too. I'll go get some money. He said Martin.
Sex was that easy to get.
That
I bet
easy.
We could
I
get
bet
money,
like,
too.
Shit, why not?
Yeah.
So he says that Martin was gone about 30 minutes. And when he returned to the car, they drove away. He knew nothing about
That's
it.
That's all he knew.
Don't know anything about
That's
what
one
was
statement?
It. That's his first statement.
Oh, boy.
Which is just, I don't know anything. I went there, got some sex, and I left, okay? Later on, though, he is shown in the afternoon, they show him a portion of Martin's, because Martin's been arrested,
Uh-oh.
Too. They show West a portion of his videotaped statement where Martin implicates West also in all of this shit. So now West, about 3 o'clock, his mom comes in to see him that day, mm-hmm. and she tells him that, you know, you should put Martin in over here. Martin's telling you that... You know,
right.
You did everything and blah, blah, blah. Now, the next morning, an agent tries to interrogate him. He went to a suppression hearing, West does, and around 5 a.m., an agent Scott, he tries to interrogate him, but West refuses to sign a waiver for his rights.
Okay.
So that later on that afternoon, like I said, when his mother is there, and they show him the videotape of Martin putting him in, now he says, now it's going all on Martin. He said, now he's just, he's completely going to go in now with the whole thing. He says after this whole thing happened, West requests to speak to the agent now
okay.
after he hears what's going on. He signs Miranda. He signs waivers,
yeah.
does the Miranda rights, everything. There's a lengthy rendition written out by the agent, the whole deal. He said he was present at the murders now. He said that he was there. He wasn't outside, but he didn't participate in any extent in inflicting bodily harm on anybody.
Okay.
He didn't do anything. He did nothing. His last statement here, this is the one where he gives it's 11:52 a.m. He's been arrested in the morning. It's 11:52 a.m. The statement lasts about an hour and 40 minutes when his lawyer arrives. The lawyer cuts it off.
Okay.
But he's giving a full statement. Yeah. Wes says that Martin had a pistol and two knives. He says that Martin threatened his life numerous times while they were in the house. He said Martin told him that if he didn't obey his orders, that he would kill him.
Yeah.
He says now, all right. We're going to get into...
A 23-year-old is letting a 17-year-old boss him around like that?
And we're also... West also, let's get into the mm-hmm. logistics of this quick before we get into the next thing. West is 6 foot. He's 6'1". He weighs 175 pounds.
Okay.
He's 23 years old. He just got out of the Army for 3 years.
Right.
Okay? Martin is 5'10". He's 140, 140 pounds, and he's 17 fucking years old.
So I'll knock your bitch ass out.
There is a big difference between 23 and 17.
Yes.
Monstrous. If they're the same size, there's a big difference.
Just
a bigger
right.
man who's also 23 and 17,
and
he'd
has
smack
lived
him
a life
yeah.
that has
been
in
the military.
He
was in the fucking military. He's a man.
Fuck that kid
he's
up.
He's not a child. This guy's
yeah.
a child. So it's ridiculous. Now, it's pretty obvious here that he could have probably, you know, done something.
At minimal, overpowered him or talked him out of it. You know,
yeah.
like calmed him down or some shit.
Definitely.
Yeah.
He says that there was initial sexual activity where Martin was in with Wanda and he was in with Sheila, he says. That there was.
So he was banging the mom?
I guess. That's
oh
what he's
God.
Trying to say. Then, okay, everybody, this is going to be rough. This okay. next 30 seconds, it's sexual, and I don't like it, and I don't.
Brace yourself.
I'm fucking not comfortable with it either. Okay, I'm really not. This isn't like I'm not excited to tell you about this, but it's what was said in the court, and it's important that you know what this guy's trying to get away with. So fast forward 30 seconds if you're honestly, if you don't want to hear it, fast forward 30 seconds. But otherwise, I'm just going to give it clinical like court documents.
That's
did.
Good.
Let's do it like that. Okay. He said that Wes said that Martin directed Sheila to, quote, give him head.
Uh-huh.
Okay. This is at gun and knife point. Okay. He tells this poor girl at 5:30 in the morning. He then forced her to get on top of Wes and have sex with him, with her on top, while Martin also from, God, this is horrible.
So he got in the leather Cheerio, well, right.
And then Martin.
Horrible.
Yes.
Horrible.
He enters through another avenue.
Pornography
yes.
calls that double penetration.
Well, not in the same, they were
right,
different.
Right, right,
yeah,
right.
But you know what I'm saying.
Right.
So there, this is.
That is horrendous.
This is the, I'm so fucking, I'm disgusted with these people right now. And especially, I don't even know what I'm more disgusted
with. This is the
with.
Worst fucking thing. And that's I'm a young,
horrified
it's a
by
15-year-old
this.
Girl.
A 15-year-old girl, exactly.
Jesus
like I said,
Christ.
I have a 15-year-old daughter and I want to kill these guys myself. I'm so angry right now. So, West is saying that Martin forced him to do this, which doesn't seem... This just doesn't seem you feel like if he really wanted to, he could have probably stopped this. He also says that West also says that he knew now that he thought he knew that Martin intended to kill both women. So now he lets that out a little bit.
And the mom's already dead at this point, too.
Mom's been dead. Yeah.
Jesus.
Mom's dead or dying because 5 to 10 minutes. And then he goes in there to sexually assault and torture this poor young girl, this 15-year-old girl, because she spurned him at school, made him feel dumb because
she owes him.
Yeah. Because he owes her one.
This is how you get it back.
This is
fuck
unreal, man. The forensic pathologist does the whole thing. He concludes that two different knives were used on Sheila to inflict the wounds.
That's usually one dude doing that. That's usually this is so crazy.
Yeah,
for anybody to try to deny that was in the house to deny that they were a part of this is an asshole.
Is a complete asshole.
Just own up to your fucking mistake.
Yeah,
not even mistake. Your fucking
Your
crime against humanity.
Thank
this
you.
Is horrendous.
Yes, against humanity in general as a whole here. Some of the wounds were inflicted on Sheila while she was on the bed and some were on the floor while she was on the ground. Dr. Blake, who is the state pathologist here, said that, quote, my conclusion is that two people were involved in the infliction of the wounds as well as participating in keeping these two women separated until they were probably brought to the end of their lives with these horrible stab wounds. So that's what really happened.
That's a tough sentence to get out of your fucking mouth in
court.
That's
what went down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, for a forensic pathologist, this is, you know, their business. But he also provided very persuasive forensic evidence that two people participated in the rape of Wanda, of the mother. So they both raped the mother, and then they were like, well, you know, let's rape the daughter, too.
Oh,
let's just rape everyone and then kill them and stab them and torture them, and oh, look, $200.
And I've known you for 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
And I can do this with you.
2 weeks.
That's
so
crazy.
Legally, the cases were severed.
Yeah.
West was tried first.
Good.
First, because he's older.
Yep.
Martin is only 17.
Right.
Remember that? That's very important, as we remember from New Jersey a while back here. Martin will not testify against West. Also, they're not going to use Martin to testify, I guess, because on cross-examination, you can go, oh, so you're the guy. Let's go over the list of shit you've done today. So that makes a lot of sense, honestly.
There's very little credibility in that testimony.
Yeah, no one can believe someone as they grind their teeth looking, wanting to shoot lasers through them out of their eyes. Now, West, he testifies at the trial because he's got no other goddamn chance, so he's trying to talk these people into it. He adds some new details, too, that weren't even in his pretrial statements, the whole deal. It's nuts. He says this is the first time he says that Martin cocked the pistol, which isn't loaded, by the way, cocks the pistol and puts it between West's eyes and said, quote, I ought to just kill you. And he said he was laughing while he was doing that. And he said he also did that again when he was done stabbing Sheila. Like, he stabbed her a couple times, and then he put the gun on West and said, I ought to kill you again, and then he went back to stabbing Sheila.
Jesus.
So, yeah, it's ridiculous. They asked him on direct examination, hey, why didn't you try to stop him?
Right.
Since, you know, you're bigger and older and that sort of shit. And his response was, quote, I couldn't do nothing. That's all he could say. And then he said that he couldn't have done that. He couldn't have done any of the stabbings because he, quote, couldn't even clean a fish. He's just soaking in ivory liquid, as Kramer said.
He's a very sweet guy.
Yeah,
how's he able to maintain an erection to rape two women?
There
then?
You go.
How about
sweet
that?
Guy.
Yeah,
I think that would make me not in the mood.
I don't think it would be even possible if I saw blood.
No, it's not great.
No.
I fucking agree with that. Yeah. And then he also says, after this, he says an additional excuse on top of this is, you know, why didn't I? Well, I can't even kill a fish. He also said that Martin told him that if he doesn't go along with it, he's going to have someone kill his wife and unborn child. He tells him that's his excuse. He said, you know, I couldn't do anything. You know, that what am I going to do? He's going to kill. Right. He's going to kill them.
That should harden this thing right up so that we can both rape these women. That's a good idea.
It's unreal. He said that this threat came right as they were leaving the house. He said, you know, if you do anything to whatever. Wes says that really Martin took charge here. He directed Wes to go get the car and pick him up on the other side of the
woods.
Natural leader. This would, of course, go against what the neighbor saw them trying to get out of a ditch.
Right.
So that's a load of shit. He said that Martin threatened again. He said, if you do anything smart, he's going to make one phone call and you'll find it. By the time you get home, your wife and kid will be dead. And so this is the bullshit that he does.
Christ.
He said, God, trying to get sympathy, this asshole West on the stand. He says that as they were leaving, there was a man standing on the road near the car, and West wanted to tell the man what happened so bad. He wanted to tell, but he said, quote, he quote, kept seeing Karen like that poor girl was, Karen's his wife.
Yeah.
I just kept seeing her all dead like that, and I just couldn't do it. This idiot, like I said, goes to McDonald's, doesn't tell a goddamn soul what happened.
I couldn't tell him because it would have sounded like I was bragging.
That's essentially
what it is.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, man. It's unbelievable. They bring on another pathologist who said he's done at least 500 autopsies, and he's saying that there's no way that Dr. Blake could tell if the stab wounds were delivered by two different people, which I guess is true.
You
can't really tell. I mean, you could say, okay, one seems to be coming from this direction, one from that direction, but they might have moved. You can't tell. They're two different knives.
Worse, it's
but
hard.
It doesn't matter.
Right. It's hard to say also that.
Why would one person switch knives?
That's
midstream?
Where I'm going.
That's where I'm going.
Why
would you say
this one isn't working so well? What are you doing?
So this case is pretty strong.
Yeah.
This is a strong case.
Yeah.
So they go to the jury, and West is convicted of two counts of first-degree murder with aggravating circumstances, two counts of kidnapping, one count of rape.
Uh-huh.
Forensic evidence about the sexual assaults of Sheila were inconclusive. There was some mess up with the actual forensics.
They just got him with Wanda.
This is the 80s. Yeah. They don't have great. It's not like DNA. We're like, we can tell everyone that raped her right now.
Right.
But this, they were a little inconclusive, so they could only get him for one rape that had scientific conclusive evidence of. So he's admitted to raping Sheila.
Right.
He admitted that, and then the other evidence ties. So he raped both women.
Definitely.
He's innocent, though. He's just a coward that can't do anything. Okay, you piece of shit. So sentencing is for March 25th, 1987. That was a quick murder trial,
too. No doubt.
And they started that 9 days before sentencing. At the sentencing hearing, West brings in three people who've known him for, you know, friends and family members. They don't say who they are. But
drill sergeant
people
or some
that
shit.
People that have known him for 3, 12, and 14 years, respectively.
Okay.
They testified that he was a good person. They didn't know anything bad about his past. They've just known him to be a great person. His sister testified that he was the baby in the family, had never been in trouble. His mother couldn't make it to court to testify on his behalf because she had just had a heart attack in between his arrest and the trial. She's had a heart attack.
He almost killed his mother with his behavior.
In addition to everybody else
that
he's killed.
She almost died of embarrassment.
Yes. So their sentencing comes down, and he is sentenced to death by lethal injection.
Go Tennessee.
Fuck this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should. That's one of those where I'm like, we're not. This is the weird part. You always hear us on here like, kill this asshole.
Right.
We're not even big death penalty guys. I'm really not.
No.
I know mathematically it's cheaper not to do it. I get all that. And morally, too, I'm a person that goes, you can't be sure. There's a lot of they exonerate too many people. But when you have this asshole.
This kind of evidence is too strong to let him.
They're admitting to it.
Yeah,
this happened.
Yeah.
You did this.
Right.
We don't even need anything.
No.
Just drag him behind a car for a while.
I'm fine
and
with that.
We're done with that. Yeah. Let Jack on the way home.
That'd be nice.
Let Jack tie his ankle to the trailer hitch on his car and drag his ass home. And you know, he can do whatever he wants with the corpse when he gets there. That's how we should
do this.
Until
his arms
ridiculous.
Are nubbins and there's nothing left to him.
Like I said, I might be biased. I have a 15-year-old daughter, so if you torture and kill and rape a 15-year-old girl, I want to drag you behind a car. I don't really give a shit about your rights or anything else at that
burlap
point.
Burlap sack over a bridge, I'm fine with that, too.
No problem.
I'd actually enjoy watching that.
Not bad at all. That's what I mean. I'm not into violence either. I'm not into the. I'm not. I don't even like horror movies. No. Like, I don't like blood and
I
shit like that.
I love horror movies.
I'm not into that shit.
I don't
but
like
this.
Blood.
Fuck, man. So Martin is tried separately, and he is sentenced to life in prison, two life sentences for both murders, but he's too young to receive the death penalty, so all he can receive is the life sentences.
So he got life?
So he got life, two life sentences. Now, there's a mandatory appeal. He does not want to appeal. West has no interest in appealing.
I'll die.
He does not care, but there is a mandatory appeal in 1989. That comes down because he is scheduled for death in 1989.
They are not fucking around in Tennessee.
Not fucking around. Now, let's get into what he says the errors were. He says that the judge erred in overruling a motion to suppress all of his statements given to law enforcement. Mm. Five different statements.
Yeah.
He says that he never was given his Miranda rights, and he did not waive those rights. Meanwhile, there's an officer Breeding. He testifies that he did advise him of Miranda rights right when he was arrested, and another officer involved taking each statement gave him informed him of his Miranda rights before each statement he made. He signed waivers. It's all there. It's ridiculous. He denied that it was signed at the time. He says that he signed the waiver at a different time and they doctored it. The last statement where he said they, you know, double teamed Sheila and all that shit at 11:52 a.m. If you fast forward to 30 seconds, that's what we were talking about. It was horrible. I said it much more clinically, and it was disgusting. Anyway, West's attorney also say that the district attorney attempted to inflame the passions and prejudices of the jurors in his opening statement by giving a detailed description of the murders, agony, and terror suffered by the victims.
Isn't that the object of an opening statement?
As well as also saying the horror that Jack Romine's suffered when he opened the door and found his wife and fucking daughter slaughtered in his own home.
I think that's the part that really gets me. It's like that he had to see that shit.
Yeah, he had to come home and find this. Wasn't a neighbor finding it, and then he came home and there's all police tape around. What happened? Hey, stay back, sir. No, he came in and found this shit.
He discovered the whole thing.
It's unreal. He says that it was improper for them to tell the jury that West had lied to his wife about what he was doing. Like he's gonna go home and go, yeah, we raped and killed a couple broads. Like that's not gonna fucking happen.
It's improper to say he lied. I'd assume that that's what he did. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, which is just insane. And also, he contends that there's prosecutorial misconduct during his closing argument. He says it was improper for the. West says it's improper for the prosecutor to call him a liar to the jury, making comments implying that the defense counsel was misleading and implying that the defendant were under. They implied that maybe they were under the influence of drugs and alcohol at the time, too, he's saying, hey, buddy, that's slander. That's libel right there. Fuck you.
Here's the thing. If one side is saying one thing and the other side is saying another, somebody's lying. And so if the prosecutor is accusing them of doing something and they're saying they're not doing it that way, then yeah, you're fucking lying.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And you were convicted, so you fucking lied.
Also, too, there's another thing he says they kept out. They kept out the testimony of a woman named Libby Woods, who apparently would have testified that Martin had threatened to kill Sheila on several other occasions,
which doesn't matter.
He was there anyway.
Yeah, he said he was going to do it, and so did you.
Also, too, there's a tape recording of a guy named Stephen Hunley, who is a cellmate of Martin's, where Hunley says that Martin says that he committed everything on his own, both trials. But that's just cellmate bullshit, and who knows if that's true or not. Doesn't matter.
That might be a 17-year-old trying to tell a dude that I did all this shit by myself.
Hey,
don't kill
I'm
me
hard.
In here. Yeah.
Yeah, don't beat me up. Yeah, he's bragging. That's the way I took it. What I took it. Trial judge ruled that... Basically, the defendant could have introduced the tape at the sentencing hearing. No one told him he couldn't. Yeah. He just didn't. So that's his problem. They excluded it from trial because they didn't think it was relevant. And they basically said, all of that, go fuck yourself.
Good.
None of that. Yeah, they did call you a liar because you were lying. Everything they went down, they said, no.
Just as we just picked it apart, so did they.
Exactly.
And we have no legal background.
The
judge did it much better.
If you're a judge, you really know this shit. So on March 27th, 1989, the conviction conviction in the murder of the first degree. The sentence and the conviction are both affirmed. The death sentence is set to be carried out on May 8th, 1989. So a month and a half away, unless there's a, you know, a stay. Yeah. Other convictions are also affirmed, including the grand larceny and all that kind of thing. Now, later, right before this happens, Stephen West is granted a stay of execution because there is an ongoing legal battle over the state's execution protocol. So we spend 15 years now between 86 and 2001. This whole time, West is not appealing. Yeah. He's fine with being killed. Yeah. He's cool with it. In early 2001, he signs a waiver asking to be put to death by the electric chair and refuses to talk with lawyers until the day he's supposed to be put to death.
God,
he doesn't want to help with the appeal. He doesn't want to do anything.
He's vicious as fuck. He even wants to torture himself.
Yeah, that's what I mean. On February, well, that's because they were fighting over the protocol of lethal injection.
So he said, it's like, fine, I don't want it.
Fucking yeah. electric chair. I don't care. Just
sign me
kill
up.
Me. Do it up. So February 28, 2001, his lawyers actually ask for and are granted a stay of execution 10 hours before he's to die in the electric chair.
Wow.
And in order to begin the federal appeals process. Now, through all this, Jack is sitting here, has been waiting and waiting and waiting. Jack says, quote, at this point, he says, I'll never get over it. Everything I had, it was gone.
Of course.
And he's still waiting, this poor guy. Now, in 2001, prison officials say that they recognize all these severe mental illnesses that West has. He has auditory hallucinations. They say that he's diagnosed with major depressive disorder, psychotic features, paranoid schizophrenia, schizoaffective disorder, they give him a shitload of medications
you know
to combat these
that?
Symptoms.
A chair with a fuckload of electricity running
through
it.
Yeah, I don't really care about this guy's bullshit. He was born in a mental institution. We figured he was probably fucked in the head a little bit. That's fine. Yeah. But no, well, let's get into this. Jesus Christ. I'm so angry at this asshole. Now, not for the appeals. I get it. They have to do the process is the process. But, oh, it's so annoying. Now, he claims that in later appeal here, the lawyers are saying that he's a subject of constant severe child abuse when he was growing up. His family had a history of psychological illness, obviously. He was born in the mental institution, like I said. He said he was constantly beaten. His alcoholic father took off on the family after he beat them a lot. It doesn't matter.
He also raped and murdered two women.
Exactly.
Tell him.
Exactly. The whole thing is ridiculous. They're saying he had no criminal record at the time. It's silly. They say that none of his child abuse stuff was brought up at sentencing because his mother hired the lawyer and his mother instructed the lawyer not to go down that road. Mm. That's what they're claiming.
Light him up.
So,
I don't care.
Execution is still on. It's set for November 8th, 2010.
Okay,
that's the execution
Jesus.
Date. 2009, Jack dies of a heart attack.
Oh, God damn it, Jack.
Poor Jack couldn't make it. His family said he never felt justice.
Of course not.
A relative said, quote, when he passed away, he still didn't have any peace in him. It's really a disgrace to the victims' families. Yeah, I would say.
He died sad in his 70s.
Wow. In July of 2010, the state receives permission to put West to death,
right?
And they set his new execution date for November 9th. He gets through the appeals process. His stay is dismissed by the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. And then in August of that year, now remember it's supposed to be in November. Attorneys for another death row inmate filed a new appeal claiming Tennessee's procedure for conducting lethal injection violated the Eighth Amendment, which offers protection against cruel and unusual punishment because there was a prisoner that they executed and they did an autopsy and there was not enough of the drugs. They don't do the right mix.
Yeah.
They're bad at making the mix. And there's not enough of the drugs to actually paralyze the guy
it doesn't
and
kill the
cut
pain.
His sentence
right,
off.
Right, right.
It makes it a horrible whatever the fuck.
Who cares?
So anyway, 2 weeks later, the state challenges this appeal saying that, you know, we're going to put him to death in the electric chair. Doesn't matter, but this everything is on hold here. Mid-October, on October 20th, the state files papers with the court saying it's going to honor West's request to drop his waiver and put him to death by lethal injection, basically. They're going to get rid of his waiver so that now his attorneys are able to file an appeal again for the method of lethal injection. So this is just going around and around. Now, this all went through. Like I said, we talked about the different people who were put to death, and they found the lower levels of what you needed. I could get into the science of it, but we don't have time.
The cocktail didn't work right.
Basically, the Tennessee Supreme Court rules a 2-1 in favor of granting a stay of execution through November.
What the fuck?
Through November, it's sent back to another court, which will hear evidence and blah, yada, yada, yada. The three-panel judge also scolded the state, saying that it failed to take action in spite of evidence for years that they didn't get their lethal injection shit right.
His fucking head with a dumbbell?
It's unreal. Now, their cousin, we have the family reaction to all this, the Romines, was woman, their cousin Eddie, said,
shitter's full.
Yeah, shitter's full. I really think it's absurd to ask something like that. He says that about the extreme and unnecessary pain. He says, quote, the pain and suffering that Wanda and Sheila had to go through and suffering that Jack, their husband and father, and the rest of the family had to go through for the last 24 years is unreal.
That's the smartest cousin Eddie ever.
Yeah, I think every taxpayer should be up in arms about something like this. It's ridiculous. They should have been over in 24 hours, let alone 24 years.
Yes.
Since he's been on death row up to this point, the taxpayers have spent $780,000 because death row is super fucking expensive.
Much more money than he would have ever made in his entire life.
Yes, absolutely. Now, March 29th, 2017, still alive this year, Supreme Court upholds the constitutionality of the written protocol by which the Tennessee Department of Corrections carries out an execution by lethal injection.
Okay.
Therefore, anybody who's about to be killed, knock yourselves out. You can kill these people all you want. Unanimous opinion said that the plaintiffs failed to establish that the lethal injection protocol on its face violates constitutional prohibitions against cruel and unusual punishment. In so holding, the court upholds the constitutionality and the protocol under both the United States and Tennessee constitutions. So they're looking to get a new execution date for him. As of right now, he is set to be executed at some point.
Not dead yet.
Still alive.
No.
We'll get an update at some point.
Mix the cocktail and put it in his fucking arm.
Jesus Christ. Mix the cocktail. Why don't we just put some Windex in there and stick it in like Steve Martin in that fucking movie?
I give a shit what
are we doing?
Yeah.
I don't give a shit at this point. Anyway, Jack, Wanda, and Sheila are all buried together.
That's nice.
They have a nice little thing with all three headstones on one big thing. Yeah. It's nice. I mean, it'd be better if they were alive, but I mean, obviously, it's in
both these assholes draw wind at this moment.
Yep. Rittenhour Cemetery in Maynardville, Union County, Tennessee, is where their graves are. Yeah, Martin, we know nothing about because he was 17. Right. Everything about him is sealed. We know shit about this
guy.
He's
just on.
We know nothing
life,
except that he's a rapist and murderer, and he's going to be in jail forever. Whereas this guy, at some point, he might be executed. If he is, we will make sure to update you on a future episode. That's Maynardville, Tennessee. Holy shit, guys. That was horrible. Thanks for hanging in there on that. Yeah. And honestly, if you made it through all of that without getting a little nauseous, I don't know what's wrong with you, but hats off to you for having such a tough stomach. If you enjoyed that story or our telling of it, would be more appropriate to say, and no one is going to, I doubt a lot of people are going to like that story.
No.
And if they do, you're a little weird. You're a little weird. As long as you don't do it to anybody else, I'm not judging you, but a little off. I don't know.
Be a pen pal of this fuck.
Yeah, I don't know. But if you enjoyed that, please get on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. It doesn't matter what you say. Yeah. We don't care. Just say that it doesn't matter. The sun is hot and round.
That's good.
Hot, round, gassy. Sounds good.
It is.
Doesn't matter. The 5 stars are what helps us on the business end more than you could possibly know. So please get on there and do that. Also, too, if you want to make a donation, like we said, patreon.com/crimeandsports. You can do that. You can make a one-time donation at PayPal using our address, crimeandsports@gmail.com.
There you go.
And there are so many fine people that have done that we're going to get to in 1 second. Also, too, if you want to follow us on social media, you can do @MurderSmall on Twitter, facebook.com/smalltownpod. Like we said, you can email us at crimeandsports@gmail.com. And here are some fine people who have been so nice to us with donations and everything else this week.
So great this
You guys
week.
Are the best. You keep us alive and running, guys. Thank you so much.
And firstly, thank you to everybody that's bought Small Town Murder shirts. You can get those at truecrimecomedyteam.com.
Please do that.
And they're in the process of being made. They will be shipped out this week, I believe.
That's awesome. We can't wait to see pictures.
Yeah,
guys.
That's going to be awesome. JR in, I believe... Shit, I'm not even going to guess at the moment. I don't know where he's at. But the podcast got him through a tough side job. And so he wrote to us and sent us some of the money. And he said, quote unquote, here's your cut, which was very
nice. That's amazing.
Thank you so
much.
An anonymous user sent us $1 Canadian as a reference to me not knowing how the fuck much $1 Canadian is in America.
Conversion rates work.
But I now know that it's around 84 cents.
77.
See, I was close enough.
And it changes daily.
So the day we got it, it was 77 cents.
Yeah.
All right. So Stein Larson, Heather Budd, and HeatherJean288 at HeatherJean288 on Twitter. She's always involved and sent us a little bit of dough.
She's cool. Thank you, guys.
Jane Richards, Paul Vamos, Jenny Neighbors, Lumbersexual, which is a fucking killer name. That's great.
Cool.
David Stanich, Colleen Eismert, Katie Hayes sent us a really great email telling us congratulations on running down assholes that deserve to be run down.
Thank you.
Thank you, Katie.
Appreciate that.
It was a very nice email.
Thank you for getting it.
Right. Doffleton, Alex Herman. I think it's Doffleton. Doffleton. It was just
close
one
enough.
Word.
We appreciate you, bro.
Yeah, we appreciate you.
Brother, Jeremy, sister, somebody.
Jeremy Pendleton, Judy McConkey, Carrie Jameson, Peter Myers, Dana Davis, and Mitchell Forrester over in Australia. Thanks for listening, man. I love Australia.
Guys, I do too. We love Australia. And like I said, there is an Australian episode coming up right around the corner. Within the next month or so, we'll be in Australia.
Terrific.
We'll be checking that out because we've gotten such just a groundswell of support from Australia.
Australia's
so
terrific.
We got to include you guys.
Yeah.
Bring in. Also, New Zealand, we haven't forgotten about you.
Yeah.
We've got some New Zealand people haven't forgotten
We're
about you.
We're coming for you, Kiwis.
We're coming for everywhere. We'll be everywhere. We're going to try to hit all the states and then come back again and do and we'll be all over the world.
We're going to do this for a while.
I have an Italy case, more England cases, more Canadian, more.
Great.
We're going to do it all, man. But we're really excited and thank you guys for supporting us so
Thanks
so
for
much.
Interacting. It was a very
and everything.
Fun week.
Where can they get a hold of you to interact,
Jimmy?
At
Wisman Sucks, WHISMAN Sucks on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. And I'm digging Snapchat. It's so
Jesus
fucking
Christ, you're
stupid.
Such a 12-year-old girl.
It's so fun.
Jesus Christ. Even my daughter is like Snapchat's kind of fucking
that's
like she's even. And like, yeah, that's kind of like beneath me now. And you're like, this is fun.
It's freshmen of
it's
high
hilarious.
School. It's middle schoolers. And then it's weirdos that send dick pics. And then it's me.
And then it's you. Yeah. Don't send dick pics to
no.
middle schoolers,
no,
please.
I promise
beg you.
To
I
not
beg
do
you.
That.
You can get a hold of me at Jimmy P is funny, or you can copy and paste my name from the show description. Do not be a hero and
there
try to spell
go.
It because you will fuck it up.
That's true.
Do that. Get a hold of us. Otherwise, guys, I don't know, man. We'll see you next week. It's been our pleasure.
Bye.
Most people think Hawaii is pretty wonderful, but most people don't find changing planes quite so wonderful. Hawaiian Airlines is on it. We're now flying nonstop from Long Beach to Honolulu and nonstop from Oakland to Kauai. And we're flying advanced new Airbus A321neo aircraft. We're talking a modern, fuel-efficient marvel of aviation technology here. The plane matters, and so does the airline. Choose well. Find our best fares at hawaiianairlines.com.
I'm Rita Foley with an AP News Minute. Five southern states now wrestling with a lingering snow, sleet, and freezing rainstorm. Drivers have been stranded, airline flights canceled, and power's been knocked out to hundreds of thousands of people. One person died when a tree fell on a moving car. North Carolina got hit hard, says the Weather Service's David Roth.
Areas around Raleigh received 3 to 9 inches of snow. Charlotte received 9 to 16 inches.
Did President Trump direct the illegal hush money payments to women during the presidential campaign? Democrats say if the allegation is proven, the president could be impeached or even jailed after he leaves office. Incoming House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff.
Well, I think we need to wait till we see the full picture.
Iraq will hold a national moment of silence today as it celebrates the defeat of the Islamic State group. Today is a national holiday in Iraq. I'm Rita Foley.